It's the morning show on K101 at 6:45, and I believe we have Senator James Lankford with us this morning.
You have a great guess on that.
Right. You called right as the commercial was ending, so we just said, we'll throw this call in the line and see who it is. So appreciate you taking some time to chat with us this morning, Senator Lankford.
You bet, Glad. You bet, glad to do it. Aren't you glad somebody else didn't call in just the exact moment as well?
Right. Oh, Senator, this is CJ. Thanks again for being on K101 this morning and keeping us up to speed. Gosh, what a busy last, not a busy, kind of an eventful, historic last 30 days, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it has been.
Couple speeches yesterday in Washington. I guess we can start with the president last night. Your thoughts, his first appearance, at least publicly, since over the weekend withdrawing from the presidential race. Your thoughts last night on President Biden?
Yeah, it was. He sat at the Resolute desk and gave a political campaign speech for Kamala Harris, which was in some ways surprising. And a lot of the questions that people were asking of, okay, you stepped aside, give us the reason why you stepped aside. He basically said, I stepped aside to give the torch to a new generation. Of course, that wasn't his statement just 4 days before. And so it's been interesting to kind of watch this evolution that has occurred for a while in President Biden and deciding now after being forced out that he's not going to run. At the end of it, it's his decision that he can make whether he's going to run or not run. But I will tell you, just watching it and watching his quote-unquote confidence on Kamala Harris to be able to carry on his legacy, Kamala Harris is actually to the left of President Biden, has been significantly to the left of President Biden. We've known that she was the most liberal senator in the Senate. She was to the left of Bernie Sanders, according to her official GovTrack. So there's a lot that's going to come out just on policy issues. I understand that she'll carry on a lot of the same spending policies and border policies and everything else that President Biden's done. So obviously, he's wanting to protect that legacy. But I think there'll be a lot more that'll come out in the days ahead of just how different Kamala Harris is even than President Biden, and she is most certainly the San Francisco liberal of the group.
You were quick on Sunday to respond to the president's announcement, and you shared with folks that he was behind in the polls, not necessarily because of age or mental capacity, I think is the way you put it, but because of policies. And quite honestly, those policies don't change, but it does kind of, I guess, change the dynamics of the race somewhat with Harris at the top of the ticket.
Yeah, obviously Kamala Harris is going to bring a lot more energy to the ticket, and she'll have a different voice and a different way to be able to express things. But you can remember also that Kamala Harris ran against President Biden for president in the Democratic primary, and I think she got 1 or 2% of the vote during the Democratic primary when she was running against President Biden. So while there a lot of the national media is going to say there's great enthusiasm for her, there's also a lot of folks that remember 4 years ago when she ran, that she did not run a good campaign, and when people looked at her policies, did not agree on that. So this will be ultimately a decision not about personality, but about policies and directions. We still have 4 years ago, President Trump, what was the economy like? What was the border like? What was crime rates like? What was our foreign policy like under President Trump? And what was it under Biden-Harris? And we can see a dramatic difference in our cost of living and our national security, our just safety as a country and the border policy. So this is about policies, not personalities at the end of the day. So I'm looking forward to that ongoing conversation nationally to be able to pick President Trump, quite frankly, in the days ahead, because I think Americans will see the real difference there.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday also gave a big speech to Congress, the joint session of the House and the Senate. Obviously you were there. What were your thoughts on what the Prime Minister said?
Yeah, the Prime Minister spent the first half of his speech reminding the American people in Congress why we're in this war at all. He brought with him some hostages that had been rescued back from Gaza. He brought with him some families of individuals that were murdered that day and that are still hostages. He brought with him some of the members of the IDF that have fought against terrorism, that they bear on their body the wounds that they have from this war. So he really spent a lot of time saying, hey, we would not be in Gaza. We were separate from Gaza. Gaza was there. Israel was here, and we were not messing with them. And then Hamas terrorists came across that border and killed 1,200 people brutally. That's the reason we're going to make this stop, and we're going to keep going until we eliminate the threat. And so he was very, very clear about it, that we don't want to be there, but we also don't want to be attacked again. And so we're going to win this war and protect our people.
Senator Lankford, I think disgusting protest is how it could be described yesterday associated with that speech in Washington. That I don't know how you can sugarcoat that. That's disgusting to me as an American.
It was disgusting. We're talking Union Station right across from the United States Capitol. We've got Palestinian flags being painted. We've got or being waved. We've got people climbing on the Christopher Columbus statue and painting on it, "Hamas is coming," as the protest is actually happening. They're burning American flags. I mean, this was the essence of anti-American, and it shows you really where those folks that are pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas, where their heart is, that it is opposed to America just like it's opposed to Israel, and we should call it out for what it is.
There's been peace talks going on for months now, but obviously not really getting anywhere. What would need to happen for there to be some kind of at least an end to the hostilities?
Oh, yeah, this could have ended months and months ago. The most basic thing is Hamas is holding over 100 hostages right now, Israeli hostages. The release of all those hostages would be number one. Number two on that is the demilitarization of Gaza. This is something that Benjamin Netanyahu laid out yesterday. If there's a constant threat of terrorists coming from there, that's just not tenable at all. They're going to make that stop. And then an Arab nation stepping in to be able to help lead Gaza and to be able to pull it back together. Israel's not interested in actually running Gaza at the end of this, but they're also not interested in having a terror nation right next door to them. So those are the key aspects, beginning with Hamas just releasing all of their hostages. Israel's going to continue to fight as long as Hamas is holding their hostages.
Senator Lankford, many of us, I think, are excited about the Trump-Vance ticket. In fact, Senator Vance, I believe, has a trip scheduled to a fundraiser maybe later this week. Well, tell us about J.D. Vance. You served with him in the Senate. Tell us what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, I do. J.D. will actually be in Oklahoma doing a fundraiser for the Trump-Vance ticket tomorrow, actually, on Friday. And so there'll be a gathering there. Mark Wayne Mullen has pulled together. And so it's a big deal to be able to see him be able to come in. He's obviously been in the Senate 18 months. A lot of people know his writings, the Hillbilly Elegy book that he talks about, just his upbringing and what it was like growing up under a mom that was drug addicted and was very abusive and living with his mama, as he called her. He is incredibly smart. He's a graduate of Yale Law School. He is a Marine and a veteran that served overseas. He is someone who's been very passionate and is extremely smart. I think a lot of people will enjoy getting a chance to hear his perspective. Obviously, President Trump is at the top of the ticket, but I think he'll bring a lot to the conversation, especially in areas like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, the area that he's from.
We need to let you go here pretty quickly. I know you have a busy schedule today. Still questions concerning the failed assassination attempt on President Trump. Are we learning anything at all through the I know the House has investigation ongoing, maybe the FBI. Have we learned anything? And I know there's a ton of questions yet to be answered, though.
Yeah, there are a ton of questions still yet to be answered. Obviously, I was part of that group that helped push out the director of Secret Service saying it is time for you to go. The American people have lost trust for obvious reasons. I'm meeting with leadership of the Secret Service this morning in a classified setting to be able to go through the details, and meeting with the FBI leadership as well later on today to be able to talk through where we are. So we are getting bits and pieces, but there's still major questions that are out there. Number one being, why didn't they cover that rooftop? That's obvious to everybody. Number two on it is the local law enforcement had radioed into Secret Service 15 minutes before the event even began that they had a suspicious person with a rangefinder that was off by themselves by that building. They saw them. They went to go get to him, and he ran away. They lost track of him. That should have been a moment Secret Service to tell the president, pause the event for 5 minutes. Just wait a couple of minutes before we start because we've got a suspicious person in the crowd. We need to identify who they are, if they're a real threat or not. That's basic law enforcement and security. That didn't happen that day. So we've got to find out who didn't make a right call, who wasn't doing supervision correctly, and how do we actually change this for the future so the American people can continue to gather and just talk about how to make America great again, in safety. While it was an attempted assassination for the president, we did have one person murdered and several people seriously injured in this. And it really rocked a lot of people and trying to be able to be engaged politically. We want to continue to keep our nation safe and that people have a sense of safety while they're there.
Senator Lankford don't necessarily want to frighten people as such. And I don't know where I said, maybe it came from the FBI with those hearings in the House, but they are increasingly becoming more concerned about foreign threats in this country. What can you tell us there? Is it?
So the Iranian regime has tried to carry out an assassination of our former Secretary of State, actually, Mike Pompeo, on American soil. That was thwarted about a year ago. The Iranian regime has been identified as trying to be able to do an assassination of President Trump. So there's a lot of foreign threats that are there, but it's not only that of an organized entity like that. We also had just a couple of months ago now 8 ISIS operatives that were arrested in the United States, that these are folks that came across the border illegally that Biden allowed to be able to come in and then later figured out, oh, those are ISIS-affiliated individuals and went and chased them down and were able to arrest them. They were able to identify those 8 folks. There are lots of folks we don't know. And one of the things the FBI has said over and over again, the light is flashing red on the dash right now because there are so many threats that are out there. And many of them are because of individuals that have come across that southern border that we just don't know who they are or their criminal background or their affiliations overseas. So there are very real threats. This is something I've met with FBI frequently on. It's one of the many reasons I'm passionate about trying to be able to solve the border issue. We can't just make the border a political issue. This is a national security issue. We have to be able to shut that border down.
Senator James Lankford, appreciate you taking some time to chat with us this morning. We know you got a busy day in store for you, as always, there in Washington.
Well, appreciate the conversation. Continue to pray for the nation.
It's the morning show on K101.